jag kom. Yes, then you know. Jag är en senior, you're up, senior down.
Yes, indeed. Time to look at what's been hot and cold through 2014, and what better day to do that than on New Year's Eve. Highs and lows, we've looked at things like the weather, the stock market. Today we're looking at the world of food, and we're doing this through the prism of design anthropology. This is RN, after all. Design anthropology looks at the relationship between design and culture, especially how cultural values are expressed through things that people make and use, like food. There you go. Dori Tunstall is Associate Professor of Design Anthropology at Swinburne University of Technology. Dori, welcome to Summer Breakfast.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Now, there have been some positives and some negatives in the world of food in 2014. Do you want to start with the good or the bad?
We'll start with the good.
Excellent plan. Let's keep it positive. What's one of the positive trends?
Well, I think for me, one of the things that was most exciting this year was the growing attention to the paddock-to-plate movement.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of starting in, at least in 2013, you had the Lifestyle Channel show on Foxtel hosted by Matt Moran, which really raised, I think, the profile of the movement here in Australia. But also the Retailer and Supplier Roundtable released their report from Paddock to Plate. And so it's really, for me, an amazing sort of shift in culture.
Well, what does that concept mean in a shorthand for people who aren't familiar with it?
Well, basically, it's about paying, on the one hand, more attention from where our food is coming from. So being in direct contact with local farmers and local meat producers, making sure that the process is transparent as well as clean and sustainable. And then making sure that when it gets to the plate that everyone actually knows where it came from and how safe, in many cases, the food is.
Okay, because that's the lineage of our food can be a confusing, vexed, and mysterious thing oftentimes. So.
Exactly. And I guess another really interesting trend is a lot of new apps that have been developed that actually allows you to be able to trace where food is coming from, who is actually the manufacturer of the food. So that, paddock to plate is really about having sort of local contact with your producers. But there's now all these apps that are being developed that even when food comes from far away, you can begin to trace where it's coming from.
Well, now, speaking of apps, I think you also wanted to talk about how we increasingly can use our mobile phone to arrange food delivery.
I just got back from India a couple of weeks ago, and I was actually surprised by the fact that I was able to order food in for delivery using, my mobile phone. And so that actually is becoming a greater trend, especially the connection between being able to order foods from restaurants, but being also to see the customer ratings of the food. So we've always had the customer ratings and Yelp, et cetera, but now...
Those are combining, aren't they now?
Yeah, it's combining. So you can order instantly, have it delivered normally within an hour or so. And that actually is really exciting for me as a person who tends to eat out more than I should.
Well, and speaking of which, now, I happen to know that you're geographically located in the, around Prahran in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And things just keep popping up in your part of the world.
Yeah. The other thing that I noticed a lot this year is a lot more pop-up food eateries. Like, we've always had sort of pop-up retail in terms of clothing and shoes, but particularly on Chapel Street this year, I noticed a lot more of pop-up food eateries. And I think it's partly in response to growing economic pressures in terms of retail space and the cost of setting up, a full restaurant. So people are kind of trying things out. But it's been really interesting to see how, they may have been a pop-up eatery for, three or so months, but then to see how they translate into a restaurant. And even in the Paran market, they've set up a kind of pop-up stall area in which they've kind of invited what would normally be, I guess, sort of food booths that you would find in a courtyard or something, and they've actually invited them into sort of a pop-up retail space, even in the Paran market.
Yeah, look, it's something we're seeing way beyond there, around the country. It's absolutely something of a trend. It's something that was predicted to be a trend for this year, which I would see as an entirely negative proposition. But you, strangely, Dory, are putting this down as a positive, and this is the increasing influx of Mexican food.
Coming from originally the United States, when I first moved here about 6 years ago, the thing I really missed was actually Mexican food, and there was very few places that I could find.
There are
that
therapies
had...
for that, I think.
It's... there were very few places that I could find that had fresh Mexican food, like not the kind that sort of glossed over with tons of cheese and things like that. So for me, actually, the trend and what's important is actually fresh Mexican food, where all of the ingredients are really fresh. It's prepared in front of you. The Franchise Council of Australia said it's going to be one of the main areas of food growth. And so actually you're now really, really seeing that, popping up all over Australia.
Let's look at genuine negatives, Dory. And we're looking at the trends in food over 2014 with Dory Tunstall, who's a design anthropologist. And when we speak negative, I don't think we need to talk very far on that before we get to kale.
Yeah, that even Zagat this year mentioned that there's a strong backlash against I'm sort of labeling the kalification of everything. So kale was like the super trend in terms of sort of healthy superfoods. But clearly it's been overexposed and its use in, everything from cupcakes to kale chips means that people have actually gotten a little tired of it. But I guess the
surely not.
The good thing, I guess, that comes out of that, there was actually the overexposure in the last year or so was actually causing a world shortage. So now that I think maybe kale may be able to find its balance again, both in terms of production and growth, as well as then, again, appearing in places where it really ought to be, which is sort of maybe part of a salad, but not in an entire salad itself, perhaps, and definitely not in a cupcake.
Well, I would say cupcakes is probably crossing a certain line.
Yeah.
Interesting thing that this is the shortages in Japan of various items.
Yeah, and the big thing that's in the news now is the shortage of potatoes requiring the rationing of McDonald's French fries. And this just goes to show that, the impact of the westernization of most diets, and particularly the Japanese diet, which means now most of the food that is required to feed the Japanese appetite has to be imported because it's not things that are sort of naturally grows well in the Japanese client. So now, Japan only produces 39% of its food, whereas in many other places, that they try to have a threshold of at least 60% of the food being able to be produced locally. But when you have significant changes in diets, particularly again the westernization of many diets, it's really hard for a country to maintain its own sort of internal food production quotas when, again, people are hankering for French fries and not necessarily rice anymore.
Dory, thank you. Look, a fascinating look at some of the big things, good and bad, around food in 2014. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
Dory Tunstall, Associate Professor of Design Anthropology at Swinburne University of Technology.